What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
It's November 17th. You're listening to the President's Daily Brief. I'm your host and former CIA officer, Brian Dean Wright. Your morning intel starts now. A good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've got five briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First, an update out of Ukraine. Looks like we dodged World War III, at least for now. I'll explain. Second, we've got some crime numbers out this morning with one company saying that it is bad and getting worse. Third, voters in Maryland and Missouri legalized marijuana last week, but I got two studies out that say, well, maybe they shouldn't have. Fourth, the Biden administration is saying that we are on the verge of seeing an historic wave of student loan defaults unless folks get some debt forgiveness. But is that true? I've got some data that provides the answer. And finally, an update that I promised you last week on the drought affecting the Mississippi River and your pocketbook. Plus, we wrap up the podcast later with a study showing how important it is to live a life with purpose. But before we get to that, we got to get started with this, the war in Ukraine. That is where we begin this morning, talking about the fallout from yesterday's big news of who bombed not Ukraine, but the neighboring country of Poland. To refresh our memories on that, Russia launched a wave of 100 missiles on Monday, hitting cities throughout Ukraine and knocking out power to at least 7 million Ukrainians. At the same time that those missiles were flying, there was an explosion in the neighboring country of Poland, which, as I mentioned yesterday, is sort of a distribution center for all the weaponry that we and Europe are sending to Ukraine. So the question that we talked about yesterday was, who dropped that bomb on that very tiny Polish city, and why'd they do it? Well, we know a little bit more this morning. Virtually everybody from Joe Biden to leaders throughout Europe are now in agreement that the missile that bombed that tiny Polish town was fired not by the Russians. Instead, the missile actually came from the Ukrainians. Oh, dear. The belief as of this morning is that as the Russians were firing their 100 missiles on Monday, the Ukrainians fired their own missiles back to counteract them, to shoot them down. Well, apparently one of those went astray and somehow landed in Poland, killing two people and blowing up a wheat silo. Now, this is a plausible, although peculiar, scenario, and it involves something that you might not know. Both Russia and Ukraine are firing weapons from the era of the Soviet Union, and that includes missiles that don't self-destruct after you fire them, meaning that if you launch one of these old Soviet-designed missiles, well, that thing is going to fly until it runs out of fuel, and then it's going to drop to the ground, wherever that might be. But more modern missiles, including some that America have, well, those things do have a self-destruct mechanism. That triggers when the missile realizes that it has missed its target. That helps minimize undesired damage. So is that what happened here? That Ukraine's missiles missed its target and just kept flying? Or is there something more? Perhaps, a skeptic might say, Ukraine purposely fired off a missile into Poland to convince the world that Russia was attacking a NATO member. And if so, that would mean that all members of that military alliance, to include the U.S., would have to rush into the war, which, just to be really clear here, would be World War III. So I don't know if that is true or even likely, but I do know this. As of this morning, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky refuses to accept any responsibility that it was his missile that struck Poland. On Ukrainian television last night, Zelensky said, quote, "I have no doubt that it was not our missile," end quote. He went on to say that his military intelligence has assured him that it wasn't theirs. So bottom line is that we still don't have total clarity on what happened, but there is clearly a division between America and our friends in Ukraine on this issue. Zelensky is absolutely sticking to his guns, or missiles, no pun intended. Although this insistence of being right, when virtually everybody from Joe Biden to Europe thinks that he's wrong, well, it's just a little bit odd. And with that, let's briefly pivot from facts and data on this story to analysis and opinion. And I want to leave you with this. The longer that this war continues, the greater the chances that an event like this escalates us into World War III. And the reason is pretty simple. The longer that the war goes on, the more and more missiles and bombs fly and drop, obviously. And that means, of course, that ships are going to sink and more buildings are going to get destroyed. And each time that that happens, there's a chance that a missile or a bomb hits the wrong target, like in Poland. And then a politician, whether it be an American or European, makes the decision that no matter what the facts are, we are going to use that moment to escalate to war. Or the politician feels somehow boxed in to declare war. And before you dismiss either of those possibilities, remember, that is exactly what happened before in Iraq 20 years ago. America declared war over weapons of mass destruction that just weren't there, but it didn't matter. And that's because the political decision to invade had already been made. For what it's worth, I want to raise one last thing with you. In fact, it's a call for peace coming out of the Pentagon. Yesterday at a news conference, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a General Mark Milley, he was speaking about the prospects for peace in Ukraine. And he said that Ukraine was actually in a relatively strong position, having beat up the Russians over the past few months. And then he added this. You want to negotiate at a time when you are at your greatest strength and your opponent is at its weakest. And then it's possible, maybe, that there can be a diplomatic and political solution. All I'm saying is that there is a possibility for it, end quote. And you know what? I think he's right. Right now, there is a wintertime window for peace. Both sides are cold, snow is starting to fall, and morale, at least for the Russians, is low. And so if America and Europe choose not to push Ukraine in this moment towards a peace deal, well, then there's your political decision. But I'll tell you from my optic anyway, that the wise man in this situation would remember the past 48 hours. Because the next time that a missile lands in Poland, and that will happen the longer that this war continues, well, cooler heads might not prevail in that scenario. And the consequences of that is both horrific and unimaginable. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to pivot to America's domestic affairs with four more critical pieces of news. We'll be right back.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Baker. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/BAKER.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
Welcome back to the PDB. I've got four more critical pieces of news for you this morning, and let's stick with the war theme, shall we? Starting with the war on crime. To refresh our memories, we had a lot of politicians arguing over the past couple of months about whether or not America had a crime problem. Democrats were largely saying no. Republicans, on the other hand, were largely saying yes. So let me give you just one example. The race for governor in New York, the Democrat there accused her Republican opponent of, quote, hyperventilating about crime, end quote, saying that he was just trying to scare people to the polls. Meanwhile, in neighboring New Jersey, Democrat activists with Black Lives Matter said that even if there were a crime problem, the solution, quote, should not be locking more people up for, say, stealing cars, but getting people who steal cars jobs so they won't ever have to steal a car again. In other words, there is no crime problem, but if there were, it's just desperately poor people trying to stay alive. So take all of that debate, folks, and consider this. The retailer Target said yesterday that they were going to lose $600 million more dollars this year compared to last year, all because of theft. Specifically, they said groups of organized criminals who are stealing their products and then reselling them on e-commerce websites like Amazon. Target added that these thefts were up 50% from last year. This data, by the way, were all shared during a call with shareholders. And for what it's worth, according to the National Retail Federation, Target is not alone in dealing with this theft by organized criminals. So others like Home Depot and TJ Maxx all lost $94.5 billion last year because of organized theft and employee theft. And that also led last year to 21 executives from these same retailers to demand that Congress pass a law to increase penalties for organized crime rings. So as always, you can decide what the data say here and whether it settles the debate. Is crime and theft a problem in America? And if so, are the thieves just poor, destitute people stealing loaves of bread and such? Or do we have large groups of organized thugs who ought to be tossed in prison? As ever, I will leave that one to you. Let's pivot now from a war on crime to a war on drugs. And we're talking about this because of five ballot initiatives last week that tried to legalize marijuana. Three of those ballot initiatives failed and two passed, one in Maryland and one in Missouri. So as America continues to debate this issue of legalizing weed, we might want to consider this. On Tuesday, researchers from the University of Ottawa and the Ottawa Hospital released a study showing that marijuana smokers have a higher rate of emphysema and airway diseases as compared to tobacco smokers. The findings, which were published in the journal Radiology, considered chest CT examinations of 56 marijuana smokers, 33 tobacco smokers, and 57 non-smokers, all between the years of 2005 and 2020. What they discovered was that marijuana smokers had a far greater rate of what's called periseptal emphysema and airway inflammatory disease. Meanwhile, there was another study released on Tuesday from researchers at Michigan Medicine, and they looked at whether cannabis use could actually increase the risk of amputation of all things if a patient went in for something called a peripheral artery bypass, which basically involves sort of detouring the blood around a narrowed or a blocked artery in one of the legs. After analyzing more than 11,000 cases from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan patients, they found that, yes, cannabis users were at an increased risk of amputation, though they didn't spell out the mechanism for why that happens. Still, it builds on previous research that marijuana use increases the risk of both heart attack and stroke. Folks, I'll tell you, I offer this with absolutely no judgment. I have friends who use this stuff for pain. But I think it's important as we debate these issues at the ballot box and in our legislatures that we take a very sober, data-driven look at the pros and the cons of this recreational drug, just like we would with any other. So keeping with our theme this morning, let's now talk about America's war on debt. Okay, well, that one's probably a stretch, but my point is that debt is bad, and Joe Biden thinks so too. That's why he wants to forgive so much of it for students. As PDB listeners know, Mr. Biden has proposed a $400 billion plan to forgive the debt of many of America's students. A judge in Texas, however, put a stop to that plan on Monday, and Mr. Biden's team promised immediately to appeal. An appeal they have. Yesterday, the Biden administration filed that appeal, saying that unless they get their debt relief program up and running soon, there will be, quote, a historically large increase of federal student loan delinquency and defaults, end quote. By the way, that's according to the Department of Education's undersecretary, a fellow named Mr. James Cavall. But is that true? Is Mr. Cavall right? Well, Mr. Biden's team didn't offer any proof, but here's what we know the data show. And in fact, it suggests that Mr. Biden is probably wrong. And here's why. Back in May, the Federal Reserve Bank in Philadelphia released a survey of 13,423 student loan borrowers. They asked these folks whether they needed debt relief. In other words, they would default if they didn't get some help. And 75% of those borrowers said, nope, I don't need any help. But when they were asked if they wanted debt relief, in other words, they don't need it, but wow, it would be a sweet deal if they could get out of all their debt. Well, 86% said, yeah, sign me up for that. I'd love to have my debt wiped out, which, you know, surprises none of us. One final thought here. If you're interested in debt relief and are physically fit, you, my friends, can join the U.S. military and get this great benefit. For the U.S. Army, for instance, $50,000 off your student loan debt, wiped away forever. You just got to sign on the dotted line and give back to your country. And that takes us to our last brief of the morning. Actually, it's one that I promised you last week. Daryl in Coatesville, Missouri wrote in asking if I would be covering the crisis on the Mississippi River. As he correctly noted, there's a drought in the Midwest and it's causing river levels to drop. In fact, it's so low in some places that barges are having a really tough time getting through. And that has lots of effects for all of us, from farmers and ranchers to consumers, because lots of agricultural goods in your supermarket go up and down that river. And some of that also feeds other parts of the world too. Let's put some numbers to this, and let's talk about two important crops, soybeans and corn. The Mississippi River moves about 60% of the U.S. soy and corn crop, especially those bound for other parts of the world. That's according to the USDA. For soybeans alone, most U.S. exports are actually sent abroad between September and February. Now, normally that wouldn't be such a big deal, but this drought is causing a nightmare for farmers. And that's because some sections of the Mississippi River, especially south of St. Louis, have lost about 3 feet of depth in places that are normally 12 feet deep. And that means that if barges can't get through, they're having to carry less of a load. Otherwise, they're going to get stuck on the river bottom. So instead of a barge holding, say, 50,000 bushels, they're dropping down to 30,000 or 35,000. Well, in turn, that's driving shipping costs way up. I read an interview with a farmer out in La Center, Kentucky. His name is Alan Pace. He's got a farm that's just shy where the Ohio meets the Mississippi. And he noted that normally it costs him about 80 cents a bushel to get soybeans or corn from his place to New Orleans. But this year, it's costing him $2.50 to $3 a bushel to go down that river. So I don't need to tell Mr. Pace or any farmers and ranchers this morning in the Midwest about how bad that is, especially on top of high diesel costs, high fertilizer costs, and so on. I should mention here, as Daryl did here just last week, that it's not just getting crops out to market on the Mississippi that's a problem. It's also getting stuff upstream, things like fertilizer. So all in all, my friends, we need to offer up some special prayers to the men and women who are working the land this morning. And I'll tell you, maybe we should do a rain dance. Although, come to think of it, I don't think you want to see me dance, so maybe you all can dance at home. And with that, my friends, we conclude your morning brief. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the PDB, folks. I've got one more thing before I let you go. By now, you know that I am a sucker for a good study, especially medical studies that help Americans with how to live better or give us hope when dealing with difficult medical or emotional conditions. Because if we can find ways to individually get stronger, physically, emotionally, then our families get stronger, our communities do too. And that means that the country ultimately gets stronger and we can weather more storms. Well, this morning, I've got another study for you. And I sure like this one. Researchers at Boston University's School of Public Health asked themselves this question. If people have a sense of purpose in life, do they live longer? Or does it not matter? Do we just sort of croak when we're supposed to croak? Well, they questioned over 13,000 people over a two-year period about whether they were living a purpose-driven life. And then they looked at their physical health and death rates. And what the researchers found was that having a purpose in life really did matter. It meant that you lived longer. To get into the numbers here, people with the highest sense of purpose had the lowest risk of death, about 20% lower. And that was true no matter who you were, male or female, black, white, rich, poor. So if you need a kick in the pants to find that purpose in your family, at church, volunteering, whatever it might be, well, consider yourself kicked this morning. Not by me, by science, just to be clear. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes your morning brief. As always, we close out the show reminding each other of why we are here, talking about our country and our world. It's the creed of every good spy and every smart American. It's from John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.